You ready, Chrissy boy?
Spawn ready.
Woo! I don't know if you're on it.
Let's go. We got that down, Bat.
Oh, I was about to launch into it. Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm a real estate agent, and with me and forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. And once again, a couple of weeks later, we have on my side here,
Belinda the valuer.
Yay!
Oh, Belle.
Lovely to have you back again, Belle.
Yes, I'm wearing the same top.
I'm wearing the same clothes as well. Care as well.
I'm always the
same. That sounds really bad now. We've been here for like 2 weeks and we're still wearing the same clothes.
Wow. Well, the shower's broken, isn't it, Chris?
Shower's working. Don't be like that. For viewers playing at home,
I promise, babe, I'll be home soon. I love the kids.
For viewers playing at home, we do record this from my house, which is why he's asking about, is the shower working? Oh, Kurt, let's get going.
Go.
So many times, Chris, I actually get asked this a lot, different kind of markets, but people ask me, always ask, what's happening with the market?
Yep.
And then they get concerned about the value of their property or value of properties around in the Sydney market. Yep. And long story short, the crux of it is I tell people that location does 80% of the heavy lifting, and it's only the actual house that does a little bit of the lifting in terms of renovations. But you want to make sure if you're buying a property you can buy relatively close to a certain radius within the city.
It's an amazing thought to think 80% of just the property does the heavy lifting. We're obviously here talking about renovations today, but it still boggles my mind when you go 80% of heavy lifting is just done by the location and maybe the size of the block or the internal square footage. That's doing that, and which makes sense, but I've just never thought about it. Till you mentioned earlier on, I never thought about it that way.
Well, before you jump in, Bill, some people often say, but Kurt, look, all this land value, maybe it's, you know, out west. I'm like, yeah, but if you take, you could have like a hectare, I don't know, in Broken Hill, and it won't be worth squat, basically. Whereas if you have...
Well, comparatively in the Sydney market.
But if you have 500 square
meters... Anyone from Broken Hill listening, we don't mean to offend you.
If you have 500 square meters in Sydney, whether it's Lower North Shore, eastern suburbs, inner west, it's going to be worth a whole lot
of
more.
Of course.
And that's where you can see 80% of the value is in.
Great, agreed. Now, Belle, we have Belle here. What are we here to talk about with Belle?
Renovations... Undercapitalizing, overcapitalizing, what to do, how to create value. We'll create a couple of scenarios, and away we go. So, Chris, did you want to start off?
I think we go over to Belle. She's got some hot topic to talk about.
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to understand when you said about the value of the heavy lifting, if you had two homes identical side by side and you forklift one in the western suburbs and you forklift one and dropped it in...
It's a big forklift, forklift.
And you had it on the back of the truck with flags, oversized warning. It's not the home that adds the value, it's the location and the land. Now, if we have a home in a great location, we could be what we call undercapitalizing, and then we want to capture the rest of the value through a renovation.
Yeah.
And then let's say the house, because we've got listeners here from all over Sydney, then you've got the ones in the western suburbs. I grew up in southwest Sydney, I lived there for a bit, but
don't change it now. You grew up, didn't you?
It's my childhood.
You gave it a great shout out. I grew up there, and then you went actually just for a short time.
Well, 6 to 16, so it shaped me, you've got to then be careful not to overcapitalize. So in the more affluent areas, we've got a problem of undercapitalization, and in areas where its price point is different, overcapitalization. And it all comes down to understanding your market. Who is your buyer? What do they want? Where are they expecting the quality of the home to be? And if you're delivering more than they're prepared to pay, you're overcapitalizing.
How does a buyer, seller, right? They want to do some renovations. They're looking at capital growth. They want to sell the property in 1 year, 3 years.
Mm.
And Kurt, I want you to hold back on this one today. Don't answer. This is for Belle.
No, you've got
an answer.
Oh, no. Sorry. I was just the conversation.
No, but this is also your sweet spot for you.
Mm.
How does a seller work out what are the things that buyers want? What would you be saying to them to go off and discover?
Before we even think about bench tops, before we even think about tiles, before we even think about renovating.
What about the light switches?
Before we think about the light switches, You need to understand what is the end, upper end value. What is the ceiling that your home could ever achieve, ever in the area? Okay. Yep. So if you're currently South West Sydney, and your house is sitting at 1 million and the record for your suburb is 2 million, what do you have to do to your home to get to that 2? Obviously, knockdown rebuild, can't get there. Okay, well, what is the nicest renovated home in your area and what has that achieved? Okay, well, we got a house down the road that went for 1.6. Right, I've got a $600,000 opportunity to renovate my home of untapped market value.
Okay, yeah.
That's how you know who, okay. So then you're like, okay.
So that's then you can physically identify a property that's sold, like you said, you know, need to work for people. Physically, you can go, there's a property there I think my property could become similar to sell.
Yeah.
What else would you do? What are the networks?
This is where we are in a really sticky situation at the moment, because to renovate a home in Southwest Sydney or represent a home in the eastern suburbs, as long as you don't get ripped off because you're in the east, the cost to renovate is relatively the same. But the price points are extremely different and the value add is extremely
different. Price point of the property is extremely different.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Right. Like if you're doing a tiling, the tiler is going to charge you, or should ethically charge you the same to lay the tiles in a bathroom in Bankstown or lay the tiles in Randwick. Ethically, they should charge you the same, except you're going to have different end market value. Your ability to add the value extremely different.
Yep.
So we've got to understand then, who is our market, right? Who is physically putting their bodies in your home come that Saturday, 11:30? Who are they? Are they mum and dad and 2 kids, 3 kids? Are they young couples? Are they retirees? Who is your demographic?
A single, divorced. How do you find that out?
You know, if you're in the area, you know who your neighbours are. You know who's moving into your area. If you're an investor and you're not in tune to your local market.
Good point.
There's a lot of online websites where you can look at the age of the demographic of your area. Are they single parents? Are they couples with kids? Are they owner-occupiers? A lot of data out there, guys. Get onto that.
So this is where I was holding Kurt off. But I think Kurt would say, and I don't think it's bad advice, is you could actually also speak to the agents in the area to say what our buyers are looking for as well.
Brilliant advice.
It's really interesting that your mindset was very much, you know, talk to your neighbours, look at what's being sold and so forth. It's probably more concrete.
Yeah.
And no offence to Kurt, or as a buyer's agent, you'd also ask me. We're really probably giving our collective of opinions. Like when people ask what the market's doing, it's very hard to summarise it all into one. So if someone says, what could I be doing my property? I could say, well, the second bathroom's key. It's going to be my opinion on that by collecting a whole bunch of people that come through, but it's also going to be determined on the property I've sold. Whereas what Bell's saying, which I love, is the data. There's property sold, there's intrinsic, you know, demographics, economic scenario of your area that you could pull down and work with. So that's great.
And then once we understand the demographics, then you've got to understand the style, right? Certain pockets. I'll give you an example. You've got Cronulla.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
Cronulla. Beachy, white, beige, beautiful. And then you have other parts of Sydney. They don't want that look. They want extremely modern.
Or it doesn't fit.
No.
It doesn't fit.
Yeah, so if you're a designer and your style is very beachy and so on and so forth, and you pick that up and you put it in part of Sydney that just want ultra-modern, marble, stainless steel, your style's not going to work there. So understanding your buyer, what they want in the home, then understanding the style of the home is key. Once you nail that, then you can start renovating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Then what to renovate is your price point, your budget, and what the end value you want to achieve.
I just want to quickly jump in there because we were having this discussion off air and you pointed out a really good story.
Okay.
And basically, do you want to go through that, the coffee shop story? I think it's actually...
said it was too long.
I'll condense
for the podcast,
it. Condense
but I reckon you can do it.
Okay. Give me this cup. I don't know whose cup it is. Sorry, not sorry.
That's my cup.
Let's say every day, for those listening, I've picked up a large mug and that's my coffee of choice. Every day, $5. I go in the coffee shop.
Because Arash has got a different branding. people are playing at home. One side had my business brand, and the other side has the Sydney Property Muppets. So we've got the Sydney Property Muppets logo holding up now.
Every day I walk in and I'm like, hi, Susan, my $5 large coffee, cool, makes it every day. Today I walk in and I'm like, feel like a small coffee. And I leave my $5 on the bench like I do every day, order the coffee, walk out with my small cap, which is actually $4 instead of $5, stop mid-step out of the coffee shop, put my hand on my head, run back. Sorry, Susan, I actually ordered the small coffee today, not the large. I gave you $5. It was actually $4. I'm so sorry, I don't want to ask, but can I have my dollar change?
Okay.
My point is, guys, we stop, we hustle for a dollar.
Yep.
But we won't stop and hustle and think about the physical money we put in our properties. We're so willing to just renovate and overcapitalize and, oh, I don't care, I want that marble over the other marble because it's, you know, it makes me feel no difference in the usability or the practicality. It's stony stone. But you'll pay more for something that may not matter to the overall market value, but you'll stop and hustle for a dollar on your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Story end.
Yes, and I was just going to say, that's the point I wanted to make, is a lot of people sometimes, if they're thinking about investing and they're new to the game, come in and are looking specifically at the property features and not realizing that location is doing 80% of the heavy lifting. And so that's the point I wanted to,
capture.
Yeah,
for the listeners playing at home, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've now got a bit of, I think let's get into some scenarios. We are usually talk quite specifically on specific examples. Today, though, we thought to get the best value out of this and keep it condensed, we're going to really talk to Belle about a property with some limitations and see what comes to mind with what she would do with that.
Go.
So we're going to talk at the moment. So it's an apartment.
Uh-huh.
This is a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment. Walls are fixed. Not much you can do to it. It's decent. Yeah. It's like 80 square meters, so it's not tiny, but it's not massive.
Mm-hmm.
Built around the 1960s or 70s, and still in theme with that. We've got an okay budget, nothing you know, ridiculous, but definitely enough to do some things with, which could be a room or it could be refreshing. What would be your go-to things in terms of that you would drive, again, with that eye, not on style, but on the capital growth factor?
Yeah, that was you've explained my very first purchase.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1960s, two-bedroom, one-bath unit. Yeah, that was exactly what
two,
I...
2 points, one to count, yeah. Basketball
terminology. So if you've got first home buyers, I think that they are a brilliant first home purchase. So finding something that is a renovator is great. Laws have changed. It's making it a little tricky now to do full renos because strata. Yeah, okay, just keep that in mind, guys. I would say the best and cheapest thing to do to add the most value... house or unit.
We're going to get a house in a second.
No, but
that's okay. I know what you're saying.
The rule is across the board.
Okay, great.
Don't muck around with the plumbing and the electricity. For instance, if you're replacing a kitchen and you think that the sink is better on the other side of the wall, you're going to have to spend a lot of money on plumbing and chasing and bringing. Yeah, whereas if you leave the sink where it is, just work with
what
you've got. Yeah.
Okay.
That will save you a hell of a lot of money that may not translate in value. Just because you want the sink on the other side because some interior design magazine told you you need the perfect triangle.
Well, and also it actually just might make sense to have the sink on the other side.
Yeah.
You might walk in or I might walk in, we all go, the sink should be over there. But that doesn't mean what you're saying. It doesn't mean you should do it because you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
This is an example about looking at the capital growth. So it's cheaper to replace where it is.
You guys are both agents in a way.
We are both agents.
Yeah, and you inspect
not homes. Not in a way. We are agents.
No, but you're
both. Last time we had you on, you said we weren't professional. This time you're saying we're not agents. Jeez, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I'm going.
Luckily, she hasn't no swear words yet.
Sure what I'm not. Trying to say is you see how quickly people inspect, right?
Yep.
They walk in, they walk out.
Yep,
they don't sit there over-analyzing. Oh, gee whiz, I wish the sink was on that side because the perfect interior design triangle just doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. If you overthink something, chances are your next buyer hasn't even crossed their mind.
Yep.
They probably literally stuck their head in and gone, oh, that's nice, and not even taken a moment's notice of something that you spend an extra $8,000 to get the plumber to change. So if you can, in a bathroom as well, super important. Of course, change the aesthetics. And of course, if it makes sense, But if you're doing it because it's more a you problem, not a bathroom style problem, just keep all the infrastructure where it is and build around it.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Also, those 60s units are very much kitchen and then separate living and dining. Yep. Where you can, biggest bang for buck would be opening it up a little bit.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
Yeah, if you can, knocking down, if you can't do the whole wall because of...
Knock down a...
Something, just open it up.
Yeah, seen it done many times.
Because do you know what the big kicker is in renovations where you add the most value? What photo is going on the billboard? Where is your money shot? Where is the money coming from? If the money shot in your apartment is open plan, kitchen, living, dining, because everything else is closed off, and the best value is to do that, do it.
Yeah.
If it's not going to make the billboard, think twice.
So here's a question on that. You said open up the kitchen. Just say the kitchen is enclosed. It has just a doorway.
Mm.
If you can only put like almost a servery, but like, you know, a hole in the wall, is that still, and it's comes in reasonable budget, is that still worth it?
Do it, but yeah.
It doesn't necessarily a serve, but if you can open up where there's a hole showing into the kitchen.
Better light.
Yeah, you know what? I always say if you've got something that's a problem, like work with it. For instance, everything now, there's like everything is sort of arch in style, like they're doing arches everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cut an arch out and don't make it like a 1970s arch, but turn it into a beautiful feature where someone walks in and go, oh, isn't that nice, right? Now, that might be a moment in time style, so it might not date well. So think about something that's a bit more timeless. But if you're doing it for now, arches are in, do an arch.
I had a client just yesterday. We had a client, we purchased an apartment in Langove in January, and same way we're describing, so boxy little kitchen and so forth. And all they've done is there was the doorway and there was the sort of a plywood bit of wall. They cut out sort of the doorway, making it an extra foot wider.
Yeah, sometimes
just that was massive. Mm. You know, they've done some other work to it, but that was massive. Okay, let's... You want to describe a house, Kurt, or you want me to have a go in terms of...
I reckon probably a standard house in Sydney would just say a 422, I reckon.
Oh, so it's four bedrooms, because 422, four bedroom, those playing at home, two bathrooms, two car park.
Yep.
Again, built and not renovated before the 1990s, so that can be, that's obviously right.
We'll just say a 500 square meter block, roughly.
And we're going to do two things here. We're going to be short and sharp. Belle, work with us here. So short and sharp. First one is they've only got 100K to spend, maximum to spend.
Yep.
I'm going to talk later on about a much bigger budget. But 100K to spend on a 422.
Yep.
What's the jugular? What are we going for?
So doing a kitchen and bathroom reno might not be...
100K is tight.
Yeah, very tight.
Very tight.
If you're ever tossing up between a kitchen and a bathroom...
Yes.
Let's say if it ain't broke. You know when they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Stop teasing us. Which one is it?
Always the kitchen.
Always the kitchen.
Always the kitchen. Kitchen sell homes. I know it sounds cliched and I know it's like, but kitchens always sell homes. Then if the bathrooms aren't horrible, maybe leave the bathrooms. Flooring's a big one. If you're going to do the kitchen and you're going to put it all, the 90s were huge on those 30 by 30 tiles.
Yep, huge.
On an angle.
Oh yeah, they were too. Yeah.
Always on an angle. Like instead of laying them like train tracks, flat, they just... angled them, right? Yep. And then they put a tile border around.
Yeah, correct.
Skirt.
Yeah, almost like a cornice, but on the ground. Yeah.
Out. Frame. Out. Jackhammer up, out. I don't care what it is. Replaced. Yeah.
Love it.
And if your kitchen is very functional and good, think about it, what I call a carcass reno. So leave the carcass but replace. If your kitchen has an angle anywhere, like 90s love hexagon kitchens.
They did.
Yeah, out. Gone. No carcass. It's out. Very brutal on that.
Yep.
And 90s homes usually just had one sliding door. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the hexagon screen mesh. You know the fly screen.
For when you exit the kitchen, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
If the budget, so say you spend a little bit there and then the floor, and say you got 50 grand left.
Oh wow! Yeah. Don't do a kitchen round for that. But keep going. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the kids,
probably.
Just bear with me.
I'm with you.
Open it up. The kitchen, living, dining, access to the outside is what buyers all want. That's, again, the billboard photo. Give them that.
Okay.
Concentrate on the openness, the flow, the aesthetic of the kitchen, living, dining. Whole house needs a repaint. And if you've got $5,000 left, please spend it on the landscaping.
Perfect. That was actually going to be my like little jumping question there. I was like, what about the landscaping?
Nice. Yes. Good.
The landscaping, do not underestimate. Biggest bang for your buck in terms of adding value, uncapitalized value, is landscaping. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, if it's a 422 house, yeah, and it's 500 square block, which you've described.
You've ticked the boxes.
It's going to have some sort of garden, right? There's no way the house takes over the whole block.
500 square meter block, yeah.
And just a nice, like, just grass. Are we putting some garden beds in there or some flowers?
I've said this before. I will hunt you down. I'm pointing at the camera. If you use red mulch, I will promise you, I will find you and I will undervalue your house. Joking. That's a huge joke. I was just going to say there,
well, she's from the Southwest, so be careful, guys. I know what she's up to.
You see how you can tell where I grew up?
Yeah, 100%.
It's a bit...
I'm scared you now know where I live.
I sound very Harvard, but deep down I'm East Side.
East Side. No. West Side.
Whatever, guys.
Wait a second. Okay, so now let's say same property.
Yeah.
We've got half a mil.
Yeah.
Let's say half a mil to even a bit more to spend.
But do you know how many bargains are on Facebook Marketplace for unwanted plants?
We're changing tack now, Val. So we've got the same house.
Yes, sorry.
Now we've got half a mil.
Oh, half a mil. Kitchens, bathrooms.
Kitchen, bathroom, done.
I would even think about...
Would we think about extending and adding bedrooms or anything in? Or do you think we can do more with a 500K leaving... Yeah, obviously I haven't seen the property.
Then we can start thinking about really opening up that kitchen, living, dining, especially if it's an awkward space.
Yep, because pre-9 is probably likely to have some awkwardness.
That's when we can start exercising options around extending maybe wider and out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would really concentrate on the backyard. I would really concentrate on a beautiful deck, outside barbecue area, perhaps a pool. Pools are a huge one for adding value. Funny thing is the...
Pools aren't cheap.
Pools are not cheap.
But that budget, you could do it.
You could do a pool. The more expensive, the more affluent your area is, the more likely people will want a pool. The more close you are to the coast and the more people pay, the more they will pay for a pool than not for the pool. Even if they don't use it, they want a pool. It's like
Isn't it weird that if people live close to the coast also 100%. Want a pool, you'll live further away? Well, again, it makes sense because if you live close to the coast, you obviously like water.
Yeah. If you don't believe me.
Then you have water.
Yeah. If you don't believe me.
I believe you. No, but I believe you, Val. Not you, them. All right, okay.
Them.
I'm worried.
The ones listening. Get a Google aerial search. And if your neighborhood all have swimming pools, then you know your market expects one. If you go further out away and you have a look, chances are you won't have as many. Everyone has a pool to Australia, it's Sydney.
It gets hot.
We all love pools. Chances are the ratio between pools and not pools is in favor of no pools. And it's not the pool that adds the value. I say this time again, it's what you do in and around the pool. Okay, because essentially it's a hole in the ground with water.
Yeah.
And if you do a hole in the ground, water, concrete tiles, you know, pavers and a color bond fence, very cold, very boring.
Yeah, I've seen a couple recently actually like that.
Just no character. You're using this a couple of times a week for a couple of months a year.
Well, I've seen a couple of times recently where, and we're talking smaller blocks, so let's say 250, 300 square meters, so big new house, they put a pool in the backyard. The pool is half of the backyard.
Oh, yeah, big
and window. my clients looking at that with their family go, where are my kids going to go? Like, great for the pool, but where are my kids? Where's the dogs going to go? Because the dogs aren't going to be in the pool.
Yeah, Chris, you know what you just explained? They didn't understand their market. They didn't understand who their buyer was.
I set that up so you can shoot that down.
Thanks. Yeah. No, but you knew. Like, you knew that. But
I knew that from experience of sitting with buyers.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have been an obvious thing to me, but by walking in with buyers, it's become very paramount.
So you've got to understand that if you want a pool, the months that you're not using it, what are you doing with your yard? The kids are playing there. The dog's running around. Yep. So don't, I think the ratio is 30% less for the pool of the backyard.
Oh yeah, your pool should like only 30, be covering up to 30% of the backyard.
Yeah, and it should be, shoved in the corner.
Should be.
Yeah, as in not...
Well, you don't want it in the centre.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, shoving the corners is bad. I want the pool to be like...
And hey, I didn't go to university and I knew that, mate.
Corner could either mean to the far left boundary, far right boundary, or the far rear boundary. So you're pushing it either far back, so you've got the front half, and either putting it to the side. But if I had 500,000, I would really concentrate on somehow squeezing a study. So then we go from a
4-2-2 to a 4.5-2-2.
Yeah.
And when we're using that term, I always do, I mean, like 4.5 bedrooms effectively, 2 bathrooms, 2 car park, what I'm describing there.
Yeah. And then I would spend a little bit more on the aesthetics outside. So whether you render it or you do something, then you spend a little bit more. Again, when you people are researching on real estate or domain.com, they always stop at the pretty, really nice looking homes. Really pays to spend money on the facade and landscaping and connecting the two spaces.
I was going to say, to back up that proof, last year we sold a place and we appraised it at
roughly... That's calling back to an episode
around 3.6. We spent, this was in Chatswood, $130,000. So a new kitchen, we added a bathroom and painted inside and out and also sanded the flooring. Mm. So it was nice. Ended up selling into the falls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to disclose the actual price because it's just because...
it's confidential settings or whatever.
What we've just spoken about here is actual evidence. It works practically.
Yes.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think that's quite nice. There's always more to talk about. This is the thing, we can always go more.
I'll just last, or here we go. Super, super quick.
Can't stop Bell, which is on a roll.
No, but if you have absolute bang for your buck, don't underestimate a coat of paint. Replacing light fittings. I can see some around me that I reckon could do with some replacing. And also handles on the kitchen cabinets and the bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you have a little bit left over, the taps.
Okay.
That's it. With the absolute bare minimum.
No. Just because you've got 500K doesn't mean you have to spend the whole thing, right? Like, you're not saying that, but more allowing you to describe what is the things
that
are.
Yeah, so let's say you have a 30K budget, like just lipstick
on. All right, lipstick on a bit. All right, let's move into our three quick questions.
I think you can start off, Chris, but before we do, three quick questions. Chris and I usually ask each other three questions each. There's no explaining unless we need to for disclaimer reasons. But this time they're all targeted at Bell.
So I'm going to go first.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Bell, you've got a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom house.
Yeah.
You are looking to add another bathroom in.
Yeah.
What is better, adding the extra bathroom on as an ensuite, adding the extra bathroom as just another shared bathroom?
I would go
from a capital growth scenario.
Yeah, ensuite 9 out of 10 times.
And I know you can't describe, but I do want to shortly articulate why that is. Because what you've explained to me before, and it makes sense, but it probably wasn't top of mind for me.
All right, really quickly, the biggest demographic at the moment is millennials. Millennials are aged, the biggest buyers in the market right now. They're the ones getting married, having kids. They're the biggest movers in the market right now.
Yep.
Yeah? And we're that generation of, because I'm worth it.
Yeah.
I want an ensuite for my bedroom.
Of course.
Because that's me. I want an ensuite, and I can tell you now, homes with ensuites sell more, or they just have a more greater market appeal than those that don't.
Yep.
Because they're worth it.
Because they're worth it. Because I'm worth it.
They're worth it.
My smile was because I knew that question was coming, and that was my answer. Not the explanation, but that was my answer that I would have added an ensuite. My question is regarding. My question is lights. Yellow light or white light for trying to sell a home?
Ooh, okay. I had yellow lights in my house when I just built. I don't mind them. My husband turned them off. They give me a headache. He hates them.
Okay.
So I think not having like hospital lights, but white just is crisp.
Yep.
Yeah. Because yellow can just, unless it's mood lighting, right? Unless it's like a wall sconce, perhaps in your bedroom.
Okay. Yeah.
Or if you're looking like an LED strip under the kitchen bench.
But in general?
I think keep it white and crisp.
Yep. 4K LED.
Yeah.
Very good.
But mood lighting, keep it warm.
Yeah.
Last question, getting a bit personal, oh, or at least a little bit on the side. So we've talked about Southwest. It'll be interesting to see what you come up with here.
Uh-oh.
NRL team of choice.
The Dragons!
There you go.
Well, I'm glad you've had success in your career.
Not the Doggies. Sorry, guys.
No, I'm glad you've had success in your career because you've had no success with the Dragons.
2010, I was at that grand final, true story. And then since then,
come on.
2009, when the Eels beat you in to...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I know we didn't win the grand final, but that's my...
Very good. All right. I'm an AFL man. So there's nothing what you just said made sense to me. But as we always say, our advice is general in nature. Please speak to the professionals in the area that you need to. Please speak out to Bell if you want an evaluation or... what's that?
You said talk to the professionals.
Talk to the professionals?
Professionals.
Yeah, professional. Yeah, sorry. Okay, now I get it. But if you're looking at doing a renovation, you want to talk to Bell about, you know, the potential of it. Obviously, from evaluation from a previous episode, also her core sweet spot. Buyer's agent, real estate agent, reach out to us. We can have a discussion. But yeah, always take advice, a bit general in nature.
Thank you. And just regarding the podcast, please try and share, even if it's just one person. We're just here to help people. We don't get any money from it.
If you've hung on this long to the end of the episode, do us a favour.
Yeah. And rate it 5-star. It's actually not that difficult, it turns out.
So I worked it out this week. All right. Thank you all for dropping by.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Oh, geez, that was... Oh, actually, I must have recorded that for longer.